From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to Current Sports this hump day edition of Current Sports. Happy Wednesday, folks. Hopefully everybody's Wednesday is going great. And we have a great show in store for you today. I'm excited about it. Hope you all are as well. In just a moment, we'll be talking with Jody Parker. Yes, she is a famed softball player, kind of like our last guest, yesterday's guest with Jessica Beach Bowl Grackis. She's a famed softball player within the area as well. Jody Parker will be joining me. She will be enshrined into the Lansing, greater area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame tomorrow evening. So you don't want to miss that interview. We will also talk about Pat Narduzzi. As you know, it was revealed yesterday that he had a few offers from many schools around the nation to leave MSU, and he decided to turn them down to return for the Michigan State Spartans football team. Also, we'll talk Tigers. Stephen A. Smith getting suspended from ESPN, and we've got a special barbershop Wednesday in store for you. All of that and so much more. But as custom here on the show, here is Alex Shard with your current sports quick hit headline.
Good afternoon, I'm Alex Sharg, and these are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Wednesday, July 30th. MSU head football coach Mark D'Antonio recently addressed the media concerning his highly esteemed assistant, Pat Narduzzi. The defensive coordinator turned down a chance to be the head coach at Connecticut, but D'Antonio said that wasn't his only offer. He said, quote, "He was offered positions, okay? Not just one, he was offered a number of positions. But what I've tried to do is make it very apparent to our coaches that they have a place to be, a great working environment, and I'm going to empower them as coaches. When the time comes for them to leave, they should leave for the right job." D'Antonio and Narduzzi both got big raises after MSU's 13-1 finish this year. D'Antonio jumped from just being under $2 million a year to $3.64 million, and Narduzzi became Big Ten's highest paid assistant coach at $904,000 a year.
All right. Well, our current sports quick hit headliners got a little cut short there for a second. But, folks, man, I'm excited about today's show. Hope you all are, too. Just to make some mental notes of some headliners that we didn't get to get to due to technical difficulties. Hey, things happen, right? It's the middle of the week. Things happen. Sometimes you got to go with the flow, right? Just want to make a quick note here that making a late push on the final day's three events. This is a pretty awesome story. Northfield native Julie Fulcher, she earned a spot on the podium Sunday with a third place finish in the 2014 Reebok CrossFit Games held in Carson, California. Canadian Camille LeBlanc-Blasnet, she took home the title with the $275,000 first place prize for individual women by scoring 918 points. She was followed by the 2011 and 2012 champion Annie Trostadottir of Iceland, who tallied 878. Now, Fulcher, she is a resident of Michigan and a University of Michigan grad. Finished with 793 points after leaping from 6th to 3rd in the event televised nationally by ESPN. How about that? And folks, you just tune in and see this. The Detroit Tigers. Man, oh man, was it a bad outing for that team or what? Jose Abreu's three-hit night extended his hitting streak to 18 games in the White Sox. They routed the Detroit Tigers 11-4 on Tuesday. Abreu, He has hit safely in 36 of his last 37 games, and this is his second 18-game streak of the year. Detroit made three errors, including two in that seventh inning. Soria made his first home appearance since the Tigers acquired him in a trade with the Texas Rangers. He retired only one of the seven batters he faced and allowed his first two homers of the season. Now, the Tigers still lead the AL Central by 5 games over Kansas City, but they've lost 4 in a row. This is their 4th losing streak of at least 4 games this season. Game 2 of the home series is scheduled for a 7:08 p.m. first pitch tonight. Hector Nwosi versus Max Scherzer. And Evan Reed, you guys remember Evan Reed, right? He's a Detroit Tigers pitcher now with the Toledo Mudhens. He is charged with 2 counts of criminal sexual assault involving a 45-year-old woman in March at a Motor City Casino hotel room. Now, Reed met the woman at about midnight on March 30th when she and her friend were invited to sit in a booth at a Royal Oak bar with Reed and others. And that's according to Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy. She says, quote, at some point, the woman finished an alcoholic drink and began to feel odd, end quote. Now, the woman and Reed left the bar and took a taxi to the hotel. The woman alleges that at 7:30 that morning, Reed sexually assaulted her in the hotel room and then told her to leave. Now, that's according to a news release. Now, the charges against Reed carry a maximum penalty of 15 years in prison. And how about this contract in the NFL? The Arizona Cardinals have agreed with Patrick Peterson on a 5-year contract extension, a deal that the Pro Bowler said Tuesday night is worth $70 million with $48 million guaranteed. That's a lot of money, which makes him now the highest paid cornerback in the NFL. Now, the deal will surpass extension signed recently by the Cleveland Browns' Joe Hayden, which is 5 years and $68 million, and the Seattle Seahawks' Richard Sherman, which is 4 years, $56 million. Now, the team announced the extension, which will keep Peterson under the contract through 2020 without specifying the pay. So there you have that. Some news that we will be diving into during our second segment of today's Current Sports, dealing with ESPN TV personality, TV and radio personality, Stephen A. Smith. Now, ESPN's Stephen A. has been suspended by ESPN for his recent comments made about the Ray Rice sexual assault situation. Smith said on the show, First Take, that women have to stop provoking the situation, and he quickly apologized on the next show during its intro for what he said. Kerry Champion, the show's moderator, also weighed in. Now, he will return to First Take and Sirius XM Radio and his next Wednesday, actually, so a week from today. And how about this? The legend, yes, the man, the myth, the legend, Vin Scully. He is a broadcast legend, folks. He announced that he will return to the broadcast booth for his 66th year. The news was announced in the middle of the second inning in yesterday's game on the L.A. Dodger video board. The 87-year-old Scully has called 3 perfect games, 25 World Series, and 12 All-Star games. A living legend, folks. That'd be a great outing, his 66th outing. Again, Vin Scully will be coming back. And in the UFC world, president of UFC, Dana White, announced on SportsCenter that Anderson Silva will get back in the octagon against Strikeforce welterweight champion Nick Diaz. Now, they will face off on January 31st, 2015, and it is said by some as the unofficial announcement of UFC 183. And finally, a water main break on campus flooded the basketball court at UCLA. The 100-year-old water main erupted and flooded streets. Other parts of the UCLA campus were also flooded. The basketball stadium went under a $133 million renovation in 2012, and it looks as though they are going to have to pump more money into now repairing that very, very court. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you know the number. Again, it's probably on your speed dial by now, folks. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Give us a ring and share anything that's on your noggin. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Folks, just want to remind you all that Thursday night at 10 p.m., you can catch the latest episode of Current Sports TV right on WKAR TV, as I will be sitting down with a prep sports reporter for the Lansing State Journal, and also covers men's and women's MSU soccer and Lansing United for LSJ as well. Scott Yoshanis. Scott joined me this morning to talk about the entire situation that's going on over at Fulton High School with the firing of now former Fulton high school football coach John Winkler. It's really an interesting situation. We, of course, had Scott on the show earlier this week to talk about his reporting on the situation and what exactly went down and why John was let go. There still are a lot of unanswered questions in this whole story. John, you know, I really hope he finds a job somewhere because, I mean, his track record of success was really unbelievable. But, hey, again, we don't know what happened behind the scenes with that whole situation. But Scott and I sit down and chat about that and so much more. We also dive into the incredible season that was for Lansing United as that season came to an end on Sunday against the New York Red Bulls' under-23 squad, a 2-0 final in that one. An unbelievable season, though. Not many out around this area didn't even fathom Lansing United to get that far. It really was a magical season for this team, so Scott and I chat about that. You'll also get to see highlights from my team, Cleves' One Goal, One Passion basketball camp that is going on right now in Lansing. It's day two as we speak. I went out there yesterday to chat with my team, you know, a few parents and also a few of the kids out there. A great event as the kids learn not only the fundamentals of the game of basketball, but life lessons as well. And also, I'm telling you folks, this episode is a jam-packed episode. You will also get to check out James Moore's Swap Youth Football Camp. A lot of camps going on around the area, but you'll also get to see footage from that and get to hear from you know, some of the various coordinators who helped put this whole Swap campaign together, including James Moore, who is the founder of this really admirable philanthropic endeavor. So you don't want to miss any of that, folks. Again, a jam-packed Current Sports TV episode. Catch it tomorrow night on your televisions. That's right, DVR it, folks, if you can't get to a TV around 10 o'clock tomorrow on WKAR-TV. That's Current Sports TV with guest Lansing State Journal sports reporter Scott Yoshanis. Well, folks, on today's radio show, again, our phone lines will be open this entire hour. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything that we talk about today, you know that number, 517-355-9527. During our second segment of the show, just going to give you guys a heads up so you can get those phones ready. We'll be talking about Pat Narduzzi, of course, the famed MSU defensive coordinator for the MSU football team. Pat Narduzzi and, you know, turning down multiple offers to come back with this football team this year to try and, you know, just reach newer heights or try to get back to the Rose Bowl. It's going to be an interesting season, but Pat Narduzzi had so many offers from across the nation and decided to come back and take his talents back to this team and try to defend that title. So we'll talk about that as D'Antonio addressed it out in Chicago during Big Ten Media Days. And how about the Detroit Tigers? Oh, man, it was just a bad outing for Detroit's Joaquin Soria. Oh, boy, 4 earned runs in just 1/3 of an inning. Can you believe that? An 11-4 just romping. We'll talk about that. And also, as I just alluded to in our quick hit headliner, Stephen A. Smith getting suspended for his remarks concerning the whole Ray Rice situation. Ray Rice, of course, many feeling as though he's just getting a slap on the wrist with a 2-game suspension in the NFL due to his incident with, you know, he got into it with his fiance in the elevator of, you know, a casino and, you know, was caught dragging her out of the elevator on camera. Manny feeling as though 2 games just wasn't enough. We'll talk about Stephen A. getting suspended for his remarks in which he used a word you should not use when talking about a subject as sensitive as this one. So we'll talk about that. And also Barbershop Wednesday. We previewed this on Monday. Had a few callers weigh in and give some very, very nice thoughts on it. Today's Barbershop Wednesday concerns the demise of playground hoops. That's right. You know, it's something I grew up with playing day in and day out throughout many summers throughout my youth. And, you know, it was one of those times where I really found my game, developed toughness, and it was just plain old fun. It's just fun playing a pickup game in the summertime with your friends. But, you know, an interesting report by ESPN is finding that those numbers are steadily going down due to a plethora of reasons. And we want to get your thoughts on it. Again, folks, pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But in the meantime, let's get to our guest for today's show. Certainly excited to have her on for the first time. She is a 1999 graduate of Lansing Catholic High School. She was a 4-year varsity volleyball and softball player. Now, as a softball player, Jody That's right. I kind of gave it away there. Jody Parker. That's who our guest is today. She was a two-time All-State selection, three-time Lansing State Journal Dream Team member, and in 1999 was named a high school All-American. She is listed in the MHSAA state record book 15 times in various hitting categories, I should say, more than any other greater Lansing area softball player in history. She also attended Lansing Community College and played softball for her Hall of Fame coach and father, yes, and certainly a friend of Current Sports, Bob Every, who is also the chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. Jody Parker, welcome to Current Sports. Thanks a lot for joining me today.
Thank you, Al. My pleasure.
Oh, thanks a lot, Jody. Now, I tell you, this is such an incredible moment. Again, you are a part of now the 2014 Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame class. That is certainly an honor. We actually had yesterday on Jessica Beach Bogracus, who is also a part of that esteemed class. And, you know, I always have fun asking this question when you talk about those getting inducted into that Hall of Fame. I got to ask you, Jody, how in the world did you get the call and what was going through your mind once you got it?
I never, you know, imagined myself here. You know, with my dad being in the Hall of Fame, I have been around it for years, but, you know, this is never something that I expected. And actually, on the morning that they were going to announce it, I called my dad, you know, just to see what was going on, as I usually do. And he said, hey, you need to go turn on the radio or the TV. I can't remember what it was airing on. He said, you need to watch that. And I forgot to do that. So I called back later in the day and he said, hey, did you listen to the program? And I said, no, I completely forgot. And I just started getting this nervous feeling like what's coming. So
right.
he had to tell me all about it. And I just thought, oh no. I mean, it was completely unexpected, just completely unexpected. So
right.
he did a really good job hiding that from me. So,
without a doubt, man. But you missed the program. That had to be a bummer, though. But hey, you still get it inducted.
I know. Now, maybe he taped it. I never did ask if he taped it, but maybe he did.
Maybe I'm sure somebody had to DVR it. Maybe some, you know, one of those, you know, fellow 2014 class members that you're being enshrined with. Maybe they DVR'd it. Maybe you can get a copy. That's great stuff, though, Jody. And you know, I gotta ask you, it's a really cool dynamic between you and your dad when talking about this particular subject, because your dad is also a part of the Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame. You know, his boxing shoes and his shorts, you know, they hang very proudly in the Lansing Center. I mean, how cool is it to be inducted into the same Hall of Fame that your dad is also enshrined in?
Well, you know, I mean, it's very cool, and not just because of my dad, but because of some of the other people who are also inducted that we're very close to. For instance, Bruce Miller, he spent countless hours with my dad at the house, you know, teaching me how to hit and how to pitch, and I mean...
Yeah.
I can't even tell you how many hours we all spent together, but there are just so many special things about it. It's actually hard to put into words. I mean, there are so many emotions. It's just really cool. Like I said, I never thought this would come, and it's really hard to kind of take it all in. You know, I'm sure it's something
right.
that will sink in once the fire dies down a little bit. So.
Yeah, it's got to be a jaw dropping moment for everybody who's inducted into the class, including to yourself. And you know, I got to ask you, looking at your incredible softball career, I mean, I got to ask how influential was Bob in your sporting career? Because of course, he was also your coach while at Lansing Community College as well. I mean, how much of an impact did he have on your sporting career?
My gosh. Probably 90% of it. I mean, I remember for as far back as I can remember, my dad would be playing catch with me out in the backyard. I mean, I don't think I could have been more than, you know, 5 or 6 years old.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, he put up this amazing batting cage for me in the backyard. Oh my gosh, the things that he would rig up. He did not want to get caught bored by my dad, because outside we'd go and it always involved practicing. So
right.
My poor house took a beating. I mean, just fence
right.
and the siding and broken windows. And I mean, yeah, we were always doing stuff. And if there was something he didn't think he could help me with, then he found the best teacher for me. So,
yeah.
I mean, he really did go out of his way to do, you know, a lot of things that, you know, maybe a lot of parents don't think to do or don't have the means to do. And I'm certain that had he not done that, I wouldn't have been as successful as I was.
That is really really incredible stuff. So you're telling me, Jody, that he actually built an entire batting cage in the backyard for you to just go at it and fine-tune your hitting in?
Oh, my God. It was amazing. It was nicer than most, you know, places you would go out to.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was really a nice batting cage.
That's great stuff. And, you know, you playing for your dad, I mean, you know, going back to Lansing Community College, I mean, how tough was it? Was it tough at all playing for him? I mean, it had to be some high expectations.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I was the coach's daughter, so
exactly.
You know, I was always made the example. So if someone was going to get yelled at in a group, it was going to be me.
So you didn't get it easy because, you know, I remember covering Denzel Valentine, who at the time, you know, I covered Denzel, who is now, of course, a MSU men's basketball player for, you know, right here in Lansing. And I remember covering him in high school, and his dad, Carlton Valentine, was his high school coach. Carlton Valentine, yeah. He was a long coach for Lansing Sexton. I remember talking to Denzel about, you know, how it was playing for his dad. And, you know, he would talk about how, you know, a lot of his teammates would, you know, come into the season saying, okay, you're the coach's son. He may go a little easy on you. But, you know, in fact, it was the exact opposite. And I'm hearing that, you know, right from you as well, you know, playing for Bob.
Yep. I think that's an easy perception to make.
Right.
But, you know, also the coaching doesn't stop when you leave the field. You know, if there was something I didn't do particularly well that day or something that I needed to work on, I mean, it was a conversation all the way home. It was the conversation during the practices until the next game. I mean, it never stopped. But, yeah, I kind of always took the brunt of the stuff for the team, and which was okay because I think I had, you know, I had the backbone to do that. I understood why it was happening. So, but yeah, playing for a parent, I don't think a lot of times is very easy, especially at a higher level. And you know that there's a lot more expected out of you because you are the coach's, you know, son or daughter. And, you know, I think you're aware of what other people are thinking, and so, you know, you have to try that much harder.
Right. That's such an interesting perspective and very, very true in many regards. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with Jody Parker. She is a famed softball player from this area who will be gracing the 2014 Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame tomorrow evening. Now, you know, folks, she played in consecutive National Junior College Athletic Association Championship games in 2000 and 2001, hitting a home run in each game. Unbelievable stuff. And she is listed in virtually every hitting category in the Lansing Community College record book. Jody, for a sec, just talk about really the art of hitting and how you frankly just got pretty good at it. And when did you know you were pretty good at this game?
Well, you know, hitting was always my favorite. It was always the thing that I enjoyed doing the most. And I think, really, it's the only part of the game where it's personal. You know, it's you against the pitcher, and I can either be better than you or you can be better than me. And I think a lot of it was that I just wanted to be better than them.
Right.
So that and, you know, the training that I had, like I said, Bruce Miller would come over. You know, and he was an excellent softball player, and you know, he taught me how to swing, and so, you know, I learned his swing.
Right.
Which was certainly helpful, and, you know, I had my dad there, so anytime I was, you know, maybe having a slump, I was able to, you know, haul him into the backyard, and we'd work out of that right away. So, but yeah, I mean, it was my favorite part of the game. And, you know, I don't know. I noticed there was a big difference in my hitting, especially between freshman and sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
it was like I all of a sudden just kind of got comfortable with myself.
Of high school, you mean?
And, yes, of high school.
Right.
And I mean, it just kind of, there wasn't a time when I went up to hit that, you know, I didn't think that I could, you know, get a hit, get a home run or a triple or something. I mean, the confidence level after that amount of training and knowing what I had at home to help me, you know, perfect that really, really set my mind at ease. And I was just able to, you know, I was just able to hit with no fear. So, you know, it just kind of took off. I don't really know what happened, but all I know is that in T-ball or, well, not T-ball, but Little League.
Yeah.
And as a freshman, it just wasn't there. And then all of a sudden it was. And
right.
I think a lot of it too was playing varsity. You know, I saw how these girls went up there and they were much more confident than I was. And that was something that I wanted. So I just thought, you know what? We're going to give this a try. And it worked.
There, I tell you what, sometimes, you know, I always say this, sometimes you're just born with it.
Yeah.
And Jody, well, you definitely had a knack for it, and you definitely worked your butt off to keep elevating that skill. It's unbelievable.
Yes, yep. And, you know, I actually have to be honest, I didn't even realize how successful I had been until my dad gave me the stats. I mean, it was just, I enjoyed it so much. I just, you know, that was not something I ever kept track of. So
right.
Even I was like, wow, I did that. So
that's great.
So yeah, it's been a surprise. It's been a fun surprise. So looking forward to it, and you know, actually getting to see some of the girls that I played with at the induction ceremony tomorrow night.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because we had Jessica Beach Bogracus on the show yesterday, and she definitely remembers you. You know, you being a tough out, without a doubt, because of course, you know, Jessica being a pitcher. I mean, she remembers facing you and you guys having some interesting outings. Do you remember, you know, going back in time? Do you remember, you know, facing off against Jessica at all?
Oh yes, Okemos was always a very big game for us. I mean, even our coach got nervous. So,
right.
So yeah, there was always some extra pressure, you know, playing against Okemos and Jessica especially. She, you know, was by far the best pitcher that we faced in our league in high school. And you know, you had to pull out all the stops when you were facing them. So, but yeah, there were some good matchups. Those were probably the games that I was most nervous about. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I remember those fondly. It was definitely a good matchup, one that we never won, but you know.
Well, I tell you what, I would pay to go back in time and see you two go at it with each other. That's great stuff. And you know, Jody, do you have a favorite memory? You know, going back in time, you know, looking at your career, do you have a favorite memory from playing?
Oh gosh. I do. My sophomore year of high school, the first year that we ever won districts, I remember before going to our final game, and this, you know, this is for the district title.
Right.
Our coach made our team go into the gymnasium. He turned off the lights, and we all sat there for 10 or 15 minutes. And he said, I want you to picture what it is that you want to do in that game today. And all I could sit there and think was, I want to hit the game-winning hit. I want that to be me.
Oh, that's great.
And sure enough, I came up to bat, and we had battled back. I think we were down something like 7 or 9 runs. We had battled back throughout the game, and I came up, and the pitcher was supposed to pitch me outside, and didn't quite get out far enough, and I, you know, hit it to the fence. Knocked in 2 runs and we won the game.
No, are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
That stuff movies are made out of. Are you kidding? So you're telling me that moment your coach turns off the lights, you sit in a gymnasium, you dream about hitting the game-winning home run.
Yes.
Or a game-winning hit, I should say, and you go out there and do it.
Yep.
Wow.
I did. And it was, you know, as a sophomore on the varsity softball team, that is, you know, one of the most thrilling things that can happen to you. And we had never won a district before. It was our first time winning a district.
Right.
And, I mean, it was just unbelievable. I mean, I think we went on to the state quarterfinals that year. But yeah, of all the memories, that is still one that I often think about.
That is truly remarkable. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with Jody Parker, famed softball player from this area who will be gracing the 2014 Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame tomorrow evening. Well, I got to ask you, I will be in attendance on Thursday, Jody. Definitely looking forward to meeting you in person. It's going to be a remarkable, remarkable time for all of you getting enshrined, as well as, you know, your family and friends who are also attending the ceremony. Do you have a speech prepared? And you know, if you do, I mean, what's the general message going to be when you go up there and address the audience?
Well, you know, I unfortunately did not inherit the public speaking bug from my dad, much to my dismay. But I have been thinking about it. I'm not sure how it will come out. But, you know, there are so many things that you want to say, and you know, I'm sure I'll forget most of it once I get there. So
right.
I'll probably try to have a few cards, but, you know, just, you know, I think mostly, you know, thanking the people who took the time out of their days to help coach me and train me and make me a better player. But also, you know, my teammates, some of whom I'm very good, you know, remain very good friends with, you know, who made that portion of my life so enjoyable. You know, it's very strange to me to be going into the Hall of Fame for something that I didn't feel was a lot of work. You know, I enjoyed it so much and had so much fun doing it. You know, I'd go back and do it all over again if I could.
Definitely. A fantastic career, Jody. And I got to ask you, what's life been like after sports for you?
Well, I'm not maybe as good as I once was, but you know, I do still get out and play softball and volleyball at least once a week.
Nice.
And, you know, I do it with some of the girls that I actually played travel ball with since I was 15. So,
right.
And I still try to keep busy, but I have two little girls now who, the older one, Cameron, is just getting started in T-ball. And the little one is very interested, so I have a feeling that before too long we're going to be getting back into, you know, the softball pretty heavy here. So,
well, there you have it. It's in their genes already.
Yep, and I'm looking forward to it. I mean, my parents, bless their hearts, had a lot of fun, you know, following me around all over the state every summer. And, you know, knowing how much fun I had, I'm actually looking forward to doing that with, you know, my girls hopefully one day. So,
there you have it. Yeah.
We'll see.
Only time will tell. Again, it's already in their blood, Jody, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Grandpa had them started it, too. So.
Right.
they had a little jump on me. So.
Right, right.
Yeah, they've definitely got the bug, and I hope that they are, you know, as successful and enjoy it just as much as I did.
There you have it, Bob. Hey, Bob, you may have some grandkids that will be gracing the hall very soon. All right.
That would be something.
That would be something. That would be a story in itself. Oh, goodness. All right, Jody. Well, hey, thank you so much for joining me today. Famed softball player from this area. Again, Jody Parker. She will be enshrined into the 2014 Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame tomorrow. Congrats, Jody, from all of us here at WKAR's Current Sports, and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Al, and I guess we'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, I look forward to it, Jody.
Okay, thank you, Al.
All righty. All right, folks. Oh, she's great. Well, let's hit the break. When we come back, we have a ton to talk about. Tigers, Stephen A. Smith, Barbershop, Wednesday, all of that and so much more. Hey, stick around and join the fun, folks. Welcome back to Current Sports on this Wednesday. World Wednesday is what Alex Shark likes to call it here on the show. Alex, of course, I call him the man behind the glass, who was engineering and you know, throwing in our music in and out of breaks. And we always play world music here on the show, where we play music from, you know, India, China. We go, to Europe and, Australia. We play everything here on the show, and Alex is definitely holding that down. Alex, happy Wednesday, World Wednesday, my brother.
Happy Wednesday, Alan. Actually, right before that song, we had a little bit of Russian club music today. So switching it up, always adding some new music flair to current sports.
Nice. There you have that, folks. That's always a fun time. I'm always interested to see what Alex has up his hand when it comes to our music here on Current Sports. And I had to kind of jump in there on those Current Sports Quick Hit headliners. Boy, I tell you, that's the way the business works sometimes, man. You always got to be ready, right?
Mom always said there'd be days like these.
Always said there'll be days like these. All right, folks. Well, I tell you what, Mom always said to call in as well. Call in right now to Current Sports 517-355-9527. We'll talk about anything that you want to talk about. And, we have a ton to get to here on the show to wrap things up in the final 30 minutes here. To start off, we definitely got to address this, Alex. Pat Narduzzi, was reported in by Joe Rexroad, who's at definitely a friend of the show. He's been on here numerous times. Joe Rexroad, a reporter, Michigan State sports reporter for the Detroit Free Press. He talked to D'Antonio, head coach, head MSU football coach Mark D'Antonio yesterday about his assistant and defensive coordinator, Pat Narduzzi, and how Pat Narduzzi had a few offers this summer and, decided to turn them down to come back with the defending Rose Bowl champion Spartans. And, it was really no surprise because, when D'Antonio made these comments, looking at the quote from the article, one of the teams he talks about is UConn, Connecticut, offering Pat Narduzzi a job. They really wanted Pat Narduzzi to come and be the head coach of that football team, but Narduzzi declined to take that job, obviously, deciding to return. And you know what? It really just hammers home that, of course, the situation has to be right, Alex. We all know. Let's be real here. We can only hold on to Pat Narduzzi for so long here in Lansing. Pat Narduzzi is such an unbelievable coach. He's a guy that when you hear him talk in press conferences, he's so witty. I love hearing him talk, and I love interviewing him because you never know what he's going to say. You always have to, you have to be on your heels because he'll sometimes challenge you to see what you know. And, he just gives you that head coach type of feel when you're talking to him. And looking at the obvious, unbelievable job that he's done with this Spartan defense. Was ranked number one in the nation last year. I mean, and to see how he's been able to kind of just keep it going, the consistent success in that regard, I mean, it's unbelievable. We all know, it just hammers down the point that we all know that Pat Narduzzi is going to, he's not going to be a Spartan forever, but when he does leave, the situation has to be right, period.
Right. And we don't know what other offers he had besides maybe the Connecticut one, but you look at some of the coaching changes in 2014, Penn State, USC, Wake Forest, Washington, all great schools, and I'm sure one or two of them may have offered him an assistant there.
Right.
But for whatever reason, I can guarantee you, Al, that if he was offered a head coaching position at Penn State or Texas or USC, he would go in 2 seconds.
I'm honestly
surprised that he wasn't offered one of those positions.
Right, exactly. I mean, because those schools, I mean, the football heritage that all those schools you just named carry, I mean, that holds a lot of weight. Yeah, Connecticut, I don't know. That's a different story.
James Franklin, leading the Maryland, leading Maryland to that the unprecedented heights, that unbelievable year. But it's not very often where you have the number one defense in the country, especially for a team like Michigan State, who typically, when it comes to defense, has not been really on the map.
Right.
So as much as, you could be a head coach like James Franklin and lead Maryland to a great year, you don't really find many defensive coordinators like Pat Narduzzi. And you see, especially in the professional ranks, a lot of defensive coordinators getting moved up to head coaching positions because of their defensive performance. And at the college level, I don't know what you think. I just don't see it that much.
No, I agree. And you know what? D'Antonio also put things in perspective yesterday at Big Ten Media Days as well. Reading his quote again, from this article, D'Antonio knows that Pat Narduzzi is supremely talented and that, there are teams, numerous teams throughout this nation who want him to lead their football team. And he doesn't shy away from that. D'Antonio could easily say, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to address that. That's in-house issue. I don't want to talk about that. Next question. Next question. But he knows that D'Antonio does a great job at facing reality And I love the way how you put it in perspective that, you know, ultimately you want your staff to have high interest from programs across the nation because it sort of reiterates that you're doing your job and you're doing it well. It's a testament to your staff and team success. If nobody was, you know, ringing up Pat Narduzzi's phone or other assistant coaches' phones, you know, inquiring about, you know, where they want to be next season, then, you know, maybe they need to start winning some more games. But seeing this MSU football team win a Rose Bowl and be on a national stage and have the number one defense in the nation, that's great. That's great dialogue. That's great perception that opens the door for other teams to say, hey, this MSU football program is pretty, pretty good. Maybe let's get a slice of that pie. You know, and if you want, if your coaches are wanted, that's just a compliment to this MSU football program at the end of the day, Alex.
No, I agree. And what I want to ask you, Al, is if Narduzzi leaves, and obviously the defense is really well known and well respected across college football, but if Narduzzi leaves Michigan State, what will the impact be right away? I mean, do you think that D'Antonio has created a culture where it can be sustainable regardless if Narduzzi leaves? I mean, obviously it will take some sort of hit. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering if it will totally change maybe the image and the mantra of the team at all.
No, it's not going to change the image or the mantra. I mean, at the end of the day, D'Antonio dictates that. D'Antonio, Narduzzi may be the guy who runs the defense and has put together this unbelievably highly touted defense. But D'Antonio sets the mood. That without D'Antonio, there is no Narduzzi. And vice versa, too. I mean, it goes both ways. Obviously, when Narduzzi leaves, there is definitely going to be a hit. But Michigan State now, I think, has solidified itself as one of the best football programs in this nation and a place that many want to be at. And it's a great stepping stone for those that want to eventually go from an assistant coach, go from offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator to a head coaching position. And seeing how Narduzzi will be able to do this in the future will inspire other coaches to want to come to this program. So I think even though Narduzzi, you know, will definitely leave and end up taking his head coaching rank somewhere, there is going to be a quality man to step in that position based on the track record of success that this team has held under the Mark D'Antonio era. And also, you know, I got to give props to Narduzzi, too, because he knows that the situation has to be right. I'm pretty sure. I mean, had this had been a different caliber type of a coach with a different mentality, hey, that coach might have jumped ship and maybe would have took, you know, that UConn job if they offered more money. And, you know, Narduzzi staying with the Spartans for another year to defend this Rose Bowl championship does show a little loyalty in a lot of ways, without a doubt.
Yeah, and aside from the loyalty, though, I mean, you got to give credit as well to Jim Bowman. I mean, just stepping in, you know, very recent hire. I mean, that's a guy also who has proven himself this year.
Yeah, and I tell you what, he was getting a lot of criticism at the beginning of the year, looking at how offense looked. And, you know, I remember it. Do you remember this moment? Do you remember us being, and I just had a flashback moment to this. Do you remember being in Indy? And remember we were watching that Big Ten championship game before we went on the field to do interviews, watching Ohio State versus MSU. Do you remember, I believe it was it had to be the second half when MSU was down and they needed just a spark. They looked really down and out. It looked as though Ohio State was going to salvage some momentum. Do you remember Narduzzi sprinting to the elevator and Bowman as well? Do you remember that? Because they were up there, you know, coaching from up top. Do you remember them sprinting down and us looking back like, oh my gosh, what's going on here?
Right, faintly remember that.
It's just a moment. It always stands out in my mind. It shows that both of those guys are really fiery. And it seemed as though once Narduzzi and Bowman did get down there, oh my goodness, I'm pretty sure they lit a fire under their team. And you know, you just saw a totally different approach mentally from the Spartans in that moment. But, you know, that's a fun moment to look back on. And, hey, and you know, again, you can't ignore this fact as well, Alex, when talking about this discussion. Hey, money does talk. And, hey, D'Antonio got a nice little raise.
Mm-hmm.
And Narduzzi definitely got a nice little raise, too. He went from $512,000 to $904,000. That's his annual salary now.
That makes him the highest paid assistant coach
exactly,
in all of football.
Exactly. And that's saying a lot. I'm sure those dollar signs were certainly chirping when he made the decision to come back as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, Alex, did you see this last night? We were talking about it really briefly before we hit the air. Boy, oh boy, the Tigers getting routed by the White Sox last night. For me, the standout moment had to be Joaquim Soria. In his first appearance, this is his first appearance as a Tiger.
Home appearance.
Yeah, home appearance. That's what I mean. At Comerica Park. This is his first appearance as a Tiger at Comerica Park. And he allowed 4 earned runs in 1/3 of an inning. 4. That, for me, that certainly was the turning point in that game. And not to, and I want to allude to this, too, because if you look at it, look at how this game was played. In the stat sheet, you had 15 hits for Chicago. Detroit wasn't far behind with 12. Detroit just couldn't score. And if you look at this, they had 12 hits. And this is the thing that really hindered them. 3 errors? Not 1, not 2, but 3. You said this could, this, you said this
it's
is the
a big series.
You said this is the series that the Tigers could get back on that saddle and ride that horse to victory.
But it's game one.
It is game one.
We'll talk tomorrow.
Right.
We'll see what happens tonight.
I hear what you're saying, but right now, hey.
It's not looking good.
It's not looking good, man. That's just a mental thing for me. When you have, anytime you have 3 errors and you have, you know, Joaquim just didn't look there. This is his worst outing that he's had. And, you know, he just didn't look there mentally. And it, for me with the Tigers, for me, for this Tigers team, again, to win a World Series, it comes down to their mental longevity. Because I think at this point in the season, I mean, it's fair to ask the question on whether or not this team is fatigued at all. And you know, because now you're past the halfway mark now. You're getting close now to, you know, it's about to be August, September, you know, then October. I mean, right now, as the season goes on, you know, it's really, really interesting to see how this team holds up. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. And it's tough to combat a pitching performance like that where, again, Joaquim Soria is giving up 4 earned runs in 1/3 of an inning. And I also got to give hats off to Jose Abreu, though, who was fantastic. He is on a 18-game hit streak right now. And, you know, he hit his 31st home run last night. That's tops in the bigs, baby. That's tops in the bigs. So Jose Abreu is certainly steaming hot, Alex.
Keep in mind, though, that Nick Castellanos was out last night. Cabrera had to step in and play third. That may have led to an error or two. So keep that in mind, Al. You know, I'm going to get on the defensive bat. They have a 5-game lead, Al. They have a 5-game first-place lead,
right.
And they're still losing games.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not like this is the Atlanta Braves team back in 03 when, like, Chipper Jones and Adam Jones were playing, and they won the division by 20 games. I mean, this isn't that type of division, I don't think. And I don't think that's that type of team.
It just shows you how bad this division is right now. Because right now, the Tigers win any other division. I mean, I think they'll be biting their nails right now. So they're lucky. Let's say it. They're lucky right now that the rest of the teams in that division are not playing great. So we'll see. We'll see as this goes on. Again, it's still early. I always say a baseball season is a marathon. It's certainly not a sprint, to say the least. So we'll see how things pan out. And, you know, hopefully they get back on track. Again, they play tonight, 7:08 p.m., first pitch. We'll see if they can get back on track, Alex.
And now we have to talk about Evan Reed real quick.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
Crazy.
You know, when I heard it, you know, we actually talked about that story. I remember when that story first happened, and we didn't know many details about it. But, you know, this is one of those stories again. And it's so crazy that this story, you know, I saw it right before you were about to do the quick headliners. I had put it in our notes, and you know, it's so crazy because you have this story in our you know show today, and you also have, you know, the Stephen A. Smith comments about, you know, the provoking comments about the Ray Rice sexual assault. That wasn't a sexual assault. That was an assault, alleged assault situation there. I mean, it's just so many instances where athletes are just putting themselves in idiotic positions. Where I just feel as though the modern athlete right now, many athletes out there just don't realize that the cameras are always on. You're a public figure now. You have to watch what you do. You have to watch how you carry yourself. And I don't think that hammers home for many athletes out there. I just don't understand it. So yeah, hopefully, you know, I really hope that, you know, we read the details from the report from Prosecutor Kim Worthy. I really hope what we read here on the show, I really hope a lot of it isn't true. Because if it is, he deserves to be locked up.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
And the punishment for that, I mean, this isn't a 60-day sentence.
No, this is 15 years.
15
you're looking
years.
At. 15 years you're looking at. So, all right, let's hit the second break. When we come back, we'll talk about Stephen A. Smith and give you our Barbershop Wednesday topic, folks. Don't go anywhere. We'll return in just a sec.
talk straight in the barbershop, then where can we talk straight? We can't talk straight nowhere else. You know, this ain't nothing but healthy conversation.
Yeah, you heard Cedric. It ain't nothing but healthy conversation. It's Barbershop Wednesday, folks, here on Current Sports, where we bring to you a hot, debatable topic and open our phone lines for you to weigh in as Alex and I debate about it. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Our phone lines are now open. In today's Barbershop Wednesday topic, we alluded to it earlier in the week and had a few callers to give some great insight on it. It happens to be focused on the demise of playground hoops. Yes, there's a recent report done by ESPN that shows that numbers have steadily declined when it comes to youth activity, specifically playground basketball activity in various parks across the nation. Basically, kids aren't going down to the local park, the local outdoor park, I should say, and playing pickup games anymore. And it's really, really alarming for me, Alex, because it really hits home for me, and I'm sure many of our callers, because I grew up playing playground basketball. That's when Al Martin transformed to Al Jordan, okay? That's when I found my game. It's where I endured, you know, I became tough, I guess you can say, on the court. And it really was fun. It was a part of my childhood where me and my buddies would go, where we were bored in the summer. Instead of, you know, going out and getting into devilment, we said, hey, let's pick up a basketball, go to the park across the street, and get it on. And it was just a fun, fun time. And, you know, you hear about the stories in Rucker Park in New York. That's a famed outdoor basketball court where there, you know, where legends graced that court. Guys like Dr. J. Dr. J is a street ball legend, folks. And, you know, just the countless stories and just fables that you hear, you know, coming from playground hoops. It's just a good time. And I want to just talk about why in the world are kids not going out and playing playground hoops? And, you know, I think this has to do with a few reasons, Alex. First, and I want to address this from, you know, my hometown, and also, a lot of my brothers, my fraternity brothers, are from Chicago as well. And I asked them this question too, and they kind of talked about this as well. One of the reasons, that many kids aren't going out and playing playground hoops has to do with the crime, you know? And I just want to address that really, really quickly, because I think that's one of the top reasons why, when you talk about areas, urban communities like the city of Detroit and Chicago, who now I think Chicago has, you know, the highest murder rate in the entire nation right now. Going out, you know, and playing pickup ball, you know, it can get pretty dicey as well, man. You get a lot of confrontations out there on the court. And, you know, now you have, you know, many people, being victims of gun violence in broad daylight. That right now, I think, is scaring a lot of kids to stay out late and play basketball.
Yeah, maybe. But on the other side of things, Al, I mean, and I'm talking aside from just the violence here as a factor. I mean, when you look at pickup games, and you've talked about this a little bit, a lot of the guys that go and play in the streets and at night and stuff, those guys don't really pan out to be great players.
But Alex, you don't play. This is the thing behind playground basketball. You don't play playground basketball to attract a scout. There's no scouts out there playing. I mean, you don't play. You play playground basketball for fun, for enjoyment, to go out there. It's nothing like some of the best memories of my childhood happened to be going out with my friends and just going out and playing pickup basketball, talking crap, playing a game of 21. It's just fun. You know, all of the politics of, you know, possibly panning out and having talent and going to the next level, you see that talent when you're playing high school basketball or playing AAU squads. Playground basketball is supposed to be, it's just a fun recreational activity.
It is supposed to be fun. I agree. But at the same time, there's another side of it where it's a little bit tougher. You're not playing on a hardwood basketball court. You're playing on pavement or
so
something.
So why do you think kids aren't going out and playing?
I think that part of it has to probably do with technology.
That is too. Like that's my second point, yeah.
And I agree. But the big reason for me is just the fact that you're not getting noticed unless you go and play in a gym in front of a scout. And you say, yeah, it's for fun and it's
so you
a lot
feel
of technology.
So you're saying lack of incentive.
I really think that there's lack of incentive. And for me, I used to go out in the playground to have fun as well, but also to get better. I really think that playing on the playground just makes you tougher and a lot better of a player.
I agree.
I mean, there isn't a referee. There aren't fouls called. You get really gritty with, you know, out on the pavement. So for me, I think that with all the AAU leagues forming, like you said, and all the professional and amateur leagues going on, that's just more of the appeal because kids just want to go to the pros today.
No, I think they just want to live
the dream. So
I think you make a good point. And that was my third point about AAU basketball, because now I think AAU has become so big. And, you know, I think now with AAU basketball now on the forefront of youth sports, specifically in high school sports, you have, you know, these kids who know that there are a lot of scouts that go to AAU camps. I was watching a reporter on Carlton Valentine, who is now coaching. He's still coaching. He coaches the AAU squad, and they're going out, I believe, to like Vegas or somewhere out of town. And he said something like a ridiculous number, like over 100 scouts are going to be there looking at these kids. And this is the summertime where AAU is going on, where you have an opportunity, you know, to go out there and play playground hoops. But would you rather do that or go and play for an AAU squad where you have a possibility of a scout noticing you and possibly getting a scholarship somewhere? So I definitely see that area as well. And you talked about technology. I mean, now, you know, it's hard not to, you know, go out the door and see somebody on their iPad or talking on their phone or, you know, looking on TV and seeing a commercial on a PS3 video game or an Xbox One video game. And video games have become so popular and so good nowadays that kids are staying inside and doing that as an alternative to going outside and getting active. So that's another hindrance to this whole discussion as well.
Yeah, and with AAU ball, it's kind of like going to a good high school to go to a good college. I mean, if you go to a better academic high school, you're going to go to a better college. If you play AAU basketball, you have way more eyes on you, you have scouts on you. You talk to anyone on MSU football or someone on MSU basketball, they'll tell you they got the looks that they needed because they played AAU, because mm-hmm. they got the eyes in front of them. There are tons of great players out there that just play high school basketball. They'll get some looks, but they don't get a lot of attention because they're not playing the circuits. They're not getting in front of all the scouts. And there are guys out there that could be playing at Michigan State or a great D1 school that just don't get the looks. And that's increasingly becoming what AAU is all about, is just putting you in front of the eyes.
But you know what? To play devil's advocate in this argument really quickly, Alex, I do know a lot of players who grew up playing AAU and went on to play college ball, but that also were out there every single day in the summertime also playing pickup basketball on the asphalt because of just the love of the game. Because they also knew that, you know, going out there and playing, you know, a game of street ball helped them become tougher. It's an avenue where they don't have a coach yelling at them or trying to run a play, where they can fine-tune their individual one-on-one game and just have fun. And they love the game that much that, hey, yeah, they wanted to still go out there, even though they were part of an AAU league and trying to get a scholarship to play college ball. But because they loved the game so much and it was so ingrained in them, they would still go out there and engage in a pickup game. So, you know, it's sad. It's sad that the numbers are going down. And we had a caller, Chris, who called in earlier on Monday's show and just talked about how, you know, what playground ball does for you. And he talked about how around the Lansing area, how there are numerous amount of courts around here, and how him and his son or cousin, I believe it was, they can't even get a run. They can't find any runs anymore, mm-hmm. which is crazy. And even when I play ball, now I have to go to Powerhouse Gym in Novi to find a good run. Wow. So it's interesting stuff.
And look what it's done for Mateen Cleese. I mean, 512 Great Street in Flint, Michigan. He talks about it all the time. So talk about ingraining. That's a great example.
That is the prime example right there, folks. Well, we are unfortunately out of time, folks. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. Folks, again, reminding you all that Current Sports TV airs tomorrow night at 10 p.m. as I sit down and chat with LSJ sports writer Scott Yoshanis. You don't want to miss that. As always, take care. Have one fantastic hump day. And, hey, be easy, people.